This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Coming up on today's show, an update on the MyNKY plan and where it's headed in the next 5 years. But first, former Indianapolis Colts and Cincinnati Bengals tight end Ben Utecht sustained at least 5 major concussions and countless micro-concussions in his playing career. He was already starting to experience memory loss in 2011 when he was 30 years old. After retiring from football, he launched a musical career, and 2 years ago he released his single, You'll Always Be My Girls, dedicated to his wife and daughters, whom he fears he'll someday forget because of his brain injuries. As a national speaker, author, and advocate for brain health, Ben Utecht works to raise awareness about the damaging nature of concussions. And he joins us this afternoon to tell us about his new book, Counting the Days While My Mind Slips Away, a love letter to my family. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Ben, good afternoon. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
You've done so many things, Ben, since you left football. You got your music career going, you became an advocate for brain health, and now you've written this book. Did you ever think that you would have your name on the front of a book?
No, not at all, actually. In fact, I didn't think that I would, you know, ever, you know, be doing advocacy work for, you know, a situation in my life that I don't really enjoy talking about. It's not fun to kind of have to relive some of that. But I guess, you know, I use the word providence just because I feel like it was, you know, an opportunity that kept coming my way, just like the book did. You know, I never set out to write a book, but I was pursued by a best-selling author in Mark Tabb and a literary agent in New York who said, you know, this is a story that, you know, we think should be told, and they wanted to tell it. And so that was the first time that I thought about actually writing this story.
So how did you start your role as an advocate for brain health? That sort of came about the same way, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. We moved to Nashville after I, you know, left the game and retired from Cincinnati, and I began to be pursued by some different groups. One initially was the Minnesota Brain Injury Alliance, which then led into my, you know, time the last few years with the American Brain Foundation, which is the national foundation of the American Academy of Neurology, which happens to be probably the most prestigious neurology group in the world. They're all based in Minneapolis, my hometown. So it just seemed like it was like, you know, a voice was telling me, like, this is something that you need to consider doing. And so that's really how I got into the advocacy side of kind of my philanthropic passion.
Ben, one of the things that really stood out to me that you say in the book, this really hit home with me. It said, I now understand that our essence as human beings lies in our ability to remember. And I'm just wondering if prior to all the experiences that you've gone through, do you think you took your brain health and your memory for granted?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it wasn't, it wasn't until going through some of these situations and the effects of some of my concussions that I really, I think, for the first time realized how important my mind is and my memories are to who I am. And that belief just really hit me hard, that the fact that, you know, what is relevant if we can't remember it, you know? And so just looking at where some of our former players are in their older age, I think began to raise some serious questions for me at 29, 30, and having some experience, some cognitive changes, you know, to kind of, what, you know, have that big question mark about my future. And that's really, I think, where the vulnerability came from in writing the song, which led to the book. And the first line of the song is actually the title of the book, and that's the relationship that brought that title out.
You know, you were talking about the stories of other players that have suffered from concussions and brain injuries, and then later they suffer from depression, memory loss, personality changes. For instance, Junior Seau comes to mind, his mm-hmm. his story. How much of an impact have stories like that had on you?
Oh, a huge impact. Just, I'm sure, like they have for so many. You know, and I was blessed to be on the same playing field as Junior Seau when he was playing in New England. And you know, to kind of step back and see kind of what is happening in some players' lives was definitely, a wake-up call for me throughout my transition, you know, leaving the NFL. And so I think that the more players that are willing to, you know, share their stories, and the more players that are willing to, I think, bring the right message, I think it's going to actually really help the game. It's going to, you know, I think really help create change.
You think brain health is something a lot of people take for granted, Ben?
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, I think that this is a, obviously for me, it came through the lens of playing a sport, but, you know, one of the scary statistics that I've learned is being a spokesperson in this world of neurology is that 1 in 6 are affected by brain disorder and brain disease in this country. 1 in 6.
That's
over. That's 55 to 60 million Americans. I mean, this is brain disease is an epidemic, and we don't like to talk about it because we haven't figured out how to fix it. You know, and I think that that's why it makes a lot of people uncomfortable, is because if you have an unfortunate diagnosis of Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or ALS, you know, or dementia, there's no, you know, I think people feel like there's no hope because there's not a way to solve the problem. And so, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't. And I think that we, you know, the focus really does need to be on, you know, on the brain. It's the miracle of who we are as people. And so if through concussions I can, you know, bring more of a spotlight on the brain as a whole, that would be a huge fulfillment for me.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation with Ben Utecht. And let's talk with Carl in Loveland. Hi, Carl.
Hi, I grew up playing hockey. I never really had a concussion, but I'm concerned about children and teenagers who play contact sports like football. Do you think this would be at some point in time where parents would be held responsible for this? Or what are the legal dimensions of this, and do you consider it a public health hazard?
Yeah, Ben. Yeah, what is your take on contact sports and kids playing them?
Well, that's a really good question. You know, you don't find many people asking, you know, the legal ramification side of things. But I think, you know, that's definitely going to come to the surface more. You know, in Minnesota, which, you know, is the state of hockey, I grew up playing hockey as well as a goalie. You know, you don't have checking until Bantams, I think it is, I believe. So I think what we have to do as a sports culture is we need to really begin to talk about what is the right entrance age for children into contact sports. And if we can educate parents to know what a concussion is and what to do if their child faces it, who to go see, and if we can also begin a dialogue that is answering the question of, you know, when is a good time to allow our children to enter into contact sports, you know, I think that then we're going to begin to answer some of those questions. And as a parent with 4 daughters, I know that that's something I'm going to definitely be pursuing.
And my thought, Ben, is I've always wondered if maybe kids should start with flag football first, play that for a long stretch before you ever get to the point where you're playing tackle football.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I think that flag football is on the rise. I think that it can be very competitive. And I think that, you know, many of my neurologist friends have told me that, you know, a child's a child's most important developmental stages of brain growth is ages 2 to 12. So I think it's something to really consider. Do we really push our children into contact sports, you know, during those really critical stages of brain development? So I think these are all really good questions, and if we can be open-minded to discussing them, I think that you know, there's definitely some opportunity there. And obviously, if we can get local government involved to create policies, that takes a lot of pressure off of parents and students to have to make the decisions.
Ben, you suffered your first concussion, I believe it was the year 2000. You were playing college football at the time. And in the book, you talk about how concussions were regarded as mild traumatic brain injuries during your playing time. But as you've learned, the long-term effects can be anything but mild. At the college and professional levels, has the attitude that concussions are a mild injury, is that starting to shift? Are we starting to see that change dramatically?
Yeah, I definitely think that we're seeing that shift and that change. And that a lot of that comes from really good, sound, medical, evidence-based messaging. I think if we can continue to have that flow of messaging kind of enter our sports consistently, I think then we'll continue to experience that positive, you know, feedback and change. So I think that, again, I think, you know, in order to truly change culture, you've got to affect the heart. And so if we can get people to, you know, to really care about it, then I think we'll start to see, you know, actions follow suit.
Did you, by chance, see the movie Concussion?
Yes, I did, yeah.
Well, what are your thoughts about that? Do you think that helped raise awareness about this issue?
Well, I definitely think it helped. I think it helped people get a dramatic glimpse into what, you know, into the severity of what some of these players were going through, and, you know, and also into how challenging, you know, culture can be. And so, obviously, at the same time, you know, there are many parts of that were kind of portrayed as very scary at the same time. And so I think that obviously that was a Hollywood movie designed to do that. And what we need to do is really kind of find that happy medium. What is the balance in there? What is reality, and what can we do about it? And I think that there is a good middle ground that we can find so that we can continue to support, you know, these sports that are really in so many ways healthy for children.
We will continue our conversation with Ben Utecht. His book is Counting the Days, While My Mind Slips Away. You can join us at 513-419-7100. Thanks to Marilyn Ritchie for listening to 91.7 WVXU today. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. My guest this afternoon, former NFL player Ben Utecht. He's now a national speaker, author, and advocate for brain health, who works to raise awareness about the damaging nature of concussions. And he joins us this afternoon to tell us about his new book, Counting the Days, While My Mind Slips Away, A Love Letter to My Family. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Ben, tell me about the first time you noticed you were losing your memory. What was that like?
Well, it's come in situational moments. It's, you know, it's where you sitting across the table from friends and family, and everybody's talking about an event or a memory, and you're the only one that can't remember it. And you know, my wife and I are always very careful to assess, you know, whether or not those types of situations are just typical, you know, typical memory loss that we all have because we just, you know, didn't store it efficiently enough or multitasking and so on and so forth. But the times where everybody remembers, except for me, is kind of when we've, you know, when we've thrown up the red flags. But it's really just come, and you write about this in the book, that it's a lot of it started to be realized when we moved back to Minnesota, which we kind of call the land of memories. And that was kind of a, you know, a very sobering experience in a lot of ways. And even writing the book, and some of the stories that are in the book, I have no memory of. They came from my parents or other people who were interviewed for the book.
Now, in doing the book, did you use exercises to help strengthen your memory and to help you recall things?
Yeah, so this is kind of the miracle of the whole story, and this is the hope part of the book, is that during the process of writing this book, I had gotten involved with a group called Learning RX, and I began a 100-hour intensive brain training program that was specifically designed to focus on strengthening the cognitive areas that were suffering. And according to my neuropsych evaluation, my short and long-term memory were in the 12th and 17th percentile. Everything else was above average, but my memory was very low. And at the end of this 100-hour program, those percentages shot up to the 78th and 90th percentile. And there was a noticeable shift, a noticeable difference in not only my own personal mental clarity, how I felt on a daily basis, and my ability to remember names better, and all, you know, so many other things. But my family was noticing changes too. So, and this was all happening as I was writing the book. So it almost was this wonderful process of being able to write a story of hope. And I think it, you know, I'm so happy that they happened simultaneously.
Well, describe some of the exercises to us, some of the things that you went through.
Well, you know, one of the things that we did for the memory, the short and long-term memory side of things, is we would do an exercise that started out with, I would be given 10 words, one word every 4 seconds, and it would be a noun. And it would also be to a metronome. There was a metronome that was always being used at about 120 beats per minute, right? They always wanted there to be kind of a chaotic environment so that you had always had distractions. So the metronome was going. Every 4 seconds, I would get a new noun. And the goal was to create a visual story, like a mnemonic for each word that was given. So you create a symbol in your mind, and that symbol has to connect to the next word. And you create basically a movie inside your mind that triggers what the word is that you were given. So you're using another sense in order to remember things. And when we started that program, I had a hard time even remembering 5 words every 4 seconds. At the end of the program, I was given 25 words every 2 to 3 seconds, and not just nouns, adjectives, and verbs, and I could recite them back, forward and backward, after they were given to me. And it was all because of, you know, this new way of creating memory mnemonics and a visual storyboard. And so it was really exciting stuff that's had a really fantastic, effect on my memory.
Yeah, like you're saying, Ben, that has to be very encouraging. How important would you say, you know, we always talk about the physical exercise, that's important to your health. Mm-hmm. Sounds to me from what you're saying that this kind of thing is, mental exercises like this are just as important as physical exercise, even for people who've never suffered
Absolutely.
A brain injury.
Absolutely. I brought this program up to a neurologist at this last year's American Academy of Neurology annual conference. And he said, his reaction was, this is, it's kind of common sense. You know, as a neurologist, the belief that if you train specific cognitive abilities, you will improve them. And when I heard him say that, I thought, well, if that's true, then I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. And I am. I mean, I go in once a week, and I will forever. And when you think about the holistic athlete today, no matter what sport you're in, obviously the brain is a part of, the most important part of their body. And so this would just give, I think, another opportunity for the athlete to add a new dimension of training to their physical program.
You wrote that beautiful song for your wife and your daughters back in 2014. How's your musical career been going these days?
Well, music is always it's always a fun way for me to break stereotypes. No one ever expects the same football player. And that's always fun, to walk out on stage and kind of, at times you can see people's eyes roll and then, oh, all right, this is going to be good. Let's hear what this football player sounds like. But, it's always fun to kind of surprise them a little bit. But really, music has become just an accent to the speaking. I do a lot of speaking, corporate speaking, and motivational speaking, obviously around the mind, mind value and purpose. I call that my MVP program. And I also do a lot of speaking around how do you build a championship culture. And I kind of bring people into the huddle of the 2006 Super Bowl Colts that I was a part of and teach you the disciplines that created a world-class culture in Indianapolis. And so speaking is number one, and music is always a part of that. So it's a joy to be able to use that.
Ben, thank you so much for joining me today.
Absolutely welcome. Thank you for having me.
Former Cincinnati Bengals and Indianapolis Colts player Ben Utecht. His new book is Counting the Days While My Mind Slips Away, a love letter to my family. Coming up, we'll hear about a new economic initiative to address challenges in Northern Kentucky. And in Focus on Technology, how researchers can tell if a brain is starting to shut down. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.